As always, it is good once again to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth on this wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. As I looked up this morning and saw the young brothers around the table, it just did my heart good. Reminded me of many years ago when there were another group of young men that were about the age of Bryce and Ian and what's your name? TJ. I heard it from over here. I didn't hear it from him. And those young men, before they got to the age of, did I miss you, Gary? Sorry, Gary. You in that category, too. But before they got to the age of Rashad, they all had fell away. So seeing Rashad in the middle, it just really, really did my heart good. Amen. And if we would keep training these young men and putting these young men to work, and as Brother Rashad was reflecting upon the life of Christ and the death of Christ, that really, really did me my heart good as that on that as well. Amen. So we want to continue to encourage them to stay close to God, Amen. To keep doing what God wants them to do. And never, never allow them to say that I cannot do it. I can't do it. The Bible teaches us that all things are possible with God. Amen. And if we deny that, we deny who Jesus is, what He came here to do, and who God is, being our Creator, being the one who created us in His image. Mm-hmm. If we deny that, you can rest assured you can't do anything. But we know that all is possible. And as we look at that on this morning, we're going to find, as the scripture reading was read from the book of Daniel chapter 3, that those three men, before they were thrown into that fiery furnace, knew that if God wanted them to go there, that it was for a reason. We're going to have to understand that as we go through this life, that if we're going through some things, it's for a reason. But knowing again, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. In the book of Matthew chapter 19, Matthew 19, verses 26. Matthew 19, 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things. Not some things, but all things. How can I cross over this bridge in my life? How can I allow these two ends that seems as though they can never even see each other? How can I see them connect? It says, with God, all things are possible. And if you're trying to do it all by yourself, you're not going to be able to get across that bridge. You're not going to be able to make those ends connect. And Brother Brian, you laughed a little bit there. Sometimes we can't even make them wave at each other. But with God, we know that these things are possible, that He will rest assured, that God will make sure that when we wake up in the morning, that the roof that we had over our head when we lay down, it will still be there. No matter how many storms we go through in this life. See, we have some people that just love to complain about this and about that. And they wonder why they are in the storm. And sometimes they're in the storm because they fail to come out of the storm. They fail to go through the entrance or the way of escape. They fail to do those things. So they are in the storm. But God can deliver us from the storm. And if we would just depend on Him, we will see how these things will come to pass in our lives. We need to believe in God. We need to believe in God. The Bible teaches us that you know, we believe in Him. And if we believe in Him, He will make sure that He will take care of us. And how is He going to do this? How is He going to take care of us? You know, many times we carry around problems in our lives where we need to be turning them over to God. Lord, I can't do anything about it. It's in Your hands now. I woke up this morning and the same problems I had when I went to bed last night, and I was still thinking about those things. If you're going to pray to God about those problems, don't worry about them. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. So we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we believe this because we know that God wants us to believe it, and as we believe these things, we're obedient unto what God wants us to do. Let's focus on God. Let's believe in Him. He's the Creator. Again, we don't tell God what we want as far as trying to force Him to do things, because He's God. He does what He wants to do. But then, yes, He answers our prayers. And as Brother Mark pointed out this morning during his prayer, we have to realize that sometimes the answer to the prayer is not what we want it to be. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. And we have to realize what that answer is. And when we realize it, we have to say, it's because this is what God wills. Often we take God out of the picture and try to fix the problem ourselves. How many of us have done that? You know, the solution is right there to the problem that we have, but yet we don't want to follow it. We don't want to follow the instructions that God has given us. We want to do things on our terms. If it's not my way, I'm not going to do it. God says, it's my way. And that's who we need to depend on. That's who we need to believe on. And we need to continue to keep Him in the picture. Why? Because man minus God is failure. Every time it is failure, no matter how many times you think you have succeeded, when you go back and look at it, you find that you really failed because God was not in the picture. A lot of times when we get ready to make a move, when we get ready to change jobs, people say, did you pray about it? Sometimes we say yes, sometimes we say no. And then when you go and you make that move without praying about it, without seeking God, without keeping Him in the plan, and that move does not come to what you want it to come to, you see, you fail because God was not there. God was not there. Man plus God equals success. May not be success in your eyes the way you were looking for it, but it's success the way God wanted it to work out. Military, you know, I spent 22 years, 10 years active and 12 years reserves. Went to Korea back in 1989 to 90. Worst place I think I've ever been. Something didn't work out the way it was supposed to work out. So back in 1992, I got orders to go back to Korea again. I say, God, You are first in my life. And the first time He was there, but He wasn't where He was supposed to be as He needed to be there. It was failure. But the second time, it was success because God was in the plan. Amen. We have to remember that, and we have to always say, God, I want You to be first in my life. I'm going to do the things that which You have directed me according to Your word to do. And I'm going to do those things, and I'm going to look at them, and I'm going to say whether I met the goals or my expectations or not. I'm going to say it was a success. It was a success. If I lose everything, and I have depended on God, it was and will be a success. Man of faith. Man of faith. Where's your faith at this morning? Are you willing to trust God for all that He has told you to do? Are you willing to put your faith in Him and say, all these things will work out because I know know that God is here and this is what he has told me to do, and I'm going to do those things and I'm going to do them to the best of my ability. I'm going to do those things without questioning him. I'm not going to say, God, why do you want me to do it like that? Why do you want me to do it like that? When Noah was told to build the ark, did you think Noah said, God, why should I build an ark? Matter of fact, God, what is an ark? Did you hear Noah? Did you read anywhere where Noah questioned God about the ark? He said, Noah, build an ark, and this is how I want you to build it, because you and your family are going to be saved. He told Noah exactly what to do. He tells us today exactly what to do. But many times what we want to do is we want to say, well, Lord, you really think I should do it that way? I believe that it'll work better this way. I've seen old Joe down the street. This is how he did it, and it worked out for him. Okay, you go ahead and do it the way Joe did it, and you see what happens. We have to do it the way God wants us to do it. He told Noah exactly how to build the ark, even the type of wood to use. And as he told him how to build the ark, and Noah built the ark just the way he told him to build it, if he would have left one thing out, what do you think would have happened to that ark? Been like the Titanic. Noah and his family would not have been saved. But yet, Genesis chapter 7, it says Noah built the ark exactly the way God told him to build it. And as he built it the way God told him to build it, when the time came, Noah and his family went in the ark, and Noah and his family were saved. They were saved. 8 souls were saved by water, the scriptures teach us. So we need to continue to trust in God and do the things that God wants us to do. What about the giant slayer? What about the giant slayer? See, many times we'll come up against people in our lives. Some of us have anyway. We haven't all been able to, you know, be the size of Gary as growing up. We ran into some big people. And as we ran up on those big people, those people thought that we should have backed down from them. But we find here David and Goliath. David didn't back down from Goliath just because of his size. He didn't back down from Goliath because David knew that God was with him. David was a man that put his faith in God. How about us today? You know, when we come up on something, we say, man, I cannot tackle that mission there or that task there. It's just too big for me to handle. A lot of times we try to handle things by ourselves, where God has given us some help to handle those things. So let's call up on those people that God has put in our lives to help us. The spouses, you know, the husband need to call on the wife, and the wife need to call up on the husband. And then God has even blessed you to have children. Call up on your children to help you. We're making sure that we put our faith in God as David did. David was a man after God's own heart. He didn't go into battle with anybody else's armor. He went into battle with what he had. And it wasn't just that slingshot and those stones. It was his faith in God. His faith in God. Where's your faith today? Where's your faith today? As we think about Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Acts 13, verse 22. Writer writes here in Acts 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Not some of it, but all of it. God. As he found David, and as David was anointed king, because this is what God wanted. A man after his own heart. Not a man that looked good, not a man that was above any other man, but a man that was going to be obedient unto him, that would have faith in him, that was able to go into battle against the giant, knowing that God would protect him. See, many times we don't step out on faith because we think God is not there. He's there. He's just waiting on us. And we have to make up in our minds to make the right decisions. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 3 and 7. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 3 and 7. See, there are many times where we're given a challenge. And we're given that challenge, we do not accept it because we don't think that we can succeed. Let's start with actually with verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah and Ephesdam. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah."
Are you in chapter 17?
Yes, I am. Are you in chapter 17?
No.
1 Samuel chapter 17? Are you there?
No.
You there? Okay. Let's swipe at verse 1. You with us? Okay. All right. "And set the battle in array against the Philistines." Verse 3. "And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out of the champion, a champion, out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him." Now this is Goliath, and all that he had and all the mighty strength that he had in order to carry his armor. But David, all he had was his sling and his stones. Was that all? Was it all that David had? David had faith in God. Faith in God. Knowing again, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. By the strength that he gives me, I can conquer this old giant. David did not turn back. As many men turn back today, David went forward into battle and he slew the giant. We too can overcome whatever is in our lives. And then in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, we find three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men refused to bow down to the king. They failed to worship him when they heard all sorts of music. They failed to obey the decree that the king had given, O Nebuchadnezzar, because their faith was in God. It wasn't in man, it was in God. And they knew that if they bowed down to worship the king, that God would be displeased with them. Daniel 3, verse 17 says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Now I want you to look at that once again. If it be so, not if he's able, but if it be so, if it is his will, God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. This type of God we serve. If it be so, he'll deliver us from whatever we're going through in this life right now. It is possible because of who God is. And the three knew that. And as they knew that and they failed to bow down to the king, The Bible says that the furnace was heated 7 times hotter than it usually was. Oh, heat it up. They want to stand against me. Heat that fiery furnace up. And I want it to be so hot that, you know, and it got to the point that it was so hot that when the men got close to it, that they died. And I want you to think about that just for a moment. That as they got close to getting ready to throw these 3 men into the fiery furnace, they died. But what happened to the 3? Well, how come they didn't die? They didn't, you know, seems as though they probably just walked in on their own accord. And the reason they walked in on their own accord, because they knew that God would deliver them. And if he did not deliver them before they walked in, we see that once they got in, that they were delivered. And once they were delivered out of the fiery furnace, they came out. It was like they had never been in there before. They didn't smell like fire. The hairs on their head was not singed. Their clothes were not burned. See, this is the type of God we serve. Now, I'm not telling anybody in here to go and walk through fire. I'm not telling you that. Melvin did not say, go walk through fire and God will protect you. We have to know that this is to know and to realize, for Nebuchadnezzar to realize that there is a God. Amen. And he was not it. He was not it. No one was supposed to bow down to him. It's very simple, isn't it? That those 3 men did what God wanted them to do. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselor, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Then answered and said unto them, the king, true, O king, it was 3. It was 3. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. You see how good God is? He allowed the bindings to be burned or to be loosed, but yet there was nothing, no harm to the 3. None. He said, I see 4. He said, the 4th is like the Son of God. It's like, where did he come from? Why is he walking around with them? And you know, a lot of times when you're in a situation where you don't want to be, it's not necessarily that you're going to be walking around. But these 3 were walking around in this fiery furnace. It had to be a big furnace for them to be walking around in it, glorifying God. Verse 25. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt in the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Who's walking with you today? Who's walking with you today? Do you see the importance of following after God as Noah did when he built the ark and he and his family were saved? Do you see the importance of following after God, going into a venture that you don't know nothing about and don't know whether or not you're going to come out on the winning end or the losing end because of the mountain that you're looking at, as David did when he went up against Goliath, but yet he was victorious? And then the 3, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they didn't know if they were going to live or they were going to die, but they didn't care. They said, if it be so, God, he will deliver us. Now, which road are you taking today? Which road are you taking today? Are you taking the easy road or are you taking the rough road? There's a song that says, I'm going up on the rough side of the mountain. And I believe that as we're going up on the rough side of the mountain, when we get to the very top, we realize that it really wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. It's going down which gets us. And a lot of times we go down because we forget to continue to trust in God. How's your life today? If you were told to go and build an ark, would you question God? Why? There are many people today that question the news people when they say that the storm is coming, the waters are going to rise, and you need to move away from your houses. A lot of them question, why? Why should I move? Noah did not question God. He just built that ark. Never seen rain before. Didn't know nothing about a flood. But yet he built that ark on dry ground. And he entered in and he was saved, he and his house. David was a man after God's own heart, did not question what God wanted him to do. He went against the giant. When the odds are not in your favor, are you willing to go? Are you willing to do? Are you willing to go out into neighborhoods which others do not want to go into and knock those doors and say, hey, are you willing to become a child of God? Or can I sit down with you and talk to you about God's word? Are you willing to do those things? I believe that there are many people that are. What about going into the fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Are you ready? Are you willing? Do you think that God will deliver? Do you know that God will deliver you? If it be so, and if he don't, it's going to be all right anyway, isn't it?
Amen.
Because of where your faith is or who your faith is in. Let's continue to trust in God. And let's continue to do the things that God wants us to do. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God.
Amen.
See, man just couldn't think about, oh, I want to build an ark, and this is the way I want to build it, and this is how I want to build it. Man couldn't have thought of that on his own. God told him what to do. There's a giant, and this is how I want y'all to defeat this giant. I want you to get 90,000 men to defeat this one giant. That's man's way, not God's way. Because all we need is a small child with his sling and his stones, and he'll show you what he can do to that giant by his faith in God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when we go through that fire, God said, I can deliver you. I will deliver you. And he did deliver them. God's will, not ours. This is what we need to think about. Jesus, as he prayed in the garden, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Allow this cup to be removed from me. And we know what the end result was. It was not God's will for that cup to be removed. Jesus had to go to the cruel cross of Calvary to be crucified, to be buried, to be raised up on the third day, to ascend into heaven, to sit up on the right hand of the Father in order for you and I to have a right to the tree of life. It must be done in order for him to help us. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm looking for a way out. I'm looking for answers. They're right here. This is all the answers we need right here. If you're not accepting the answers, it's there. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. All things are possible. All things are possible. How can I get along with my neighbor? You can, but you can't do it by yourself. How can I get along with people on my job? You can, but you can't do it by yourself. You need God.
Amen.
When I woke up this morning, or when you woke up this morning, what was on your mind? Was it serving God? Was it being pleasing to God? Was it realizing that if I'm not a part of the family of God, I need to be a part of the family of God? See, you can't go through this life by yourself. You need somebody. God is your best help.
Amen.
Why not depend on him? Why not trust in him on this day? If you're here and you're not a child of God, we're encouraging you to become one, to come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in the water of great baptism, putting them on. If you're here and you're straight away, we're asking you to come back to the fold before it's everlasting too late as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.